Welcome to Fishing Without Bait, where you've got here by accident or on purpose. We're glad that you're here. My name is Jim Ellermeyer, a behavioral health therapist, and we attempt to help people explode into their lives through full impact mindfulness. The only entrance requirement here is the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. And if you have a few pixie dust sprinkles of each of those, jump on and let the adventure begin. And we are continuing our conversation with Santina Grace. I've always suggested to people that most people are terrified to be in a room when someone is crossing. And I try to tell them that it's a tremendous privilege to be with someone when they cross.
It is. I mean, you can, at least from the standpoint I've experienced it, and it's hard when it's somebody who you love, right? So it's a different experience because, and you know, I've gone through it from, I'm losing someone who I love, but then at the same time, I can feel the joy of the reunion of souls, of love in that room. And I've even talked to other people who they've seen angels, they've felt angels, they've heard, you know, singing and things like that. And it's just a beautiful experience. So I don't know. I've seen all kinds of experiences too in my mind's eye, just through connecting with people and different ways that people have crossed, from very violent deaths to, you know, maybe even overdose or something like that. And in every single one of those, no matter how horrific the death might be, there's always peace in it. There's always peace in it. Regardless of whether they see a light, regardless of whether they just get darkness, there's always peace. And I think that's something that I feel like we should all take note of, peace. And I feel like, for me, that's the biggest gift that I think we can give ourselves is peace.
Well, I think I mentioned to you pre-podcast that the first time I coded in the hospital and I was in distress, having what they call heavy breathing and wet breathing. And the nurse said, in a few moments, there's going to be many people in this room. Mm-hmm. What I told her was, I'm not afraid.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And none of us should be afraid, because just like breathing, someday we're going to stop that, you know, and someday every single one of us that listens to this podcast is going to die.
Yes.
We are all going to die. And so you cannot fear something that is inevitable. This is something that is just, it's part of life. You were born, you will die. And I just think there's a lot of people who've accepted that, but you know, you and I were talking about, there's also something called living your life without regret. And you were saying that.
Yes.
You're like, I want every tombstone. I love that you said that. I want every tombstone in the grave to say, I live my life with no regret. And I love that. That's beautiful.
No regrets. Mm-hmm. Absolutely none.
Mm-hmm. So I think rather than living in fear and thinking about, you know, someday I'm going to die. And, you know, and even this morning I thought about some people in my life who I will be so very, very sad and so devastated to lose. You would be among them.
Oh, thank you.
And I thought about that, and I just thought, but you know what? I would lose them in physical form, but I would never, ever lose their essence, their spirit, because I would carry that within me, you know? And I cherish our moments, and I'm sorry. I don't want to get emotional, but I do.
Wow, those are kind words, and I'll hold them in my heart, Santina.
Thank you.
However, I attribute that to my years and years and years of 12-step recovery, where I've dealt with my character defects. I've offered them to the divine. I've forgiven everyone.
Yeah, that's important.
I have no more resentments. I've made amends.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was okay.
That's right.
I remember two specific times in my life. I think my oldest granddaughter's 10 now, but when she was 2.5, I was walking along with her, and she reached up and she held my hand. And I said, I'm not volunteering, but I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, it doesn't get better than this.
No, that's right.
Then actually her birthday's tomorrow. She's 5. Aww. And when I was in the hospital, had many of them. She, her mother sent me a video and she says, please get better, Pop Pop. I love you.
Oh, that's so nice. That's wonderful. And that's just kind of, I don't know, it's just a way of you feeling that connection, that support, that community. It gets you to go. It gets you motivated to be like, that's right, I'm going to be there for you. You know, and someday when we can't physically be there, that doesn't mean that you're never going to be there. You're always going to be there.
Well, you know? It's those type of experiences and it's those type of preparations that you're not volunteering, mm-hmm. but you have no fear.
Right. You have no fear. And I think that we all really do need to live that way. Cherish every single moment. Don't take it for granted. I mean, when I drive on the streets and I came really close to being in a really bad accident lately. And I even when the weather gets bad, I look at these folks driving and they're in such a hurry and in such a rush to get somewhere with no regard to their safety, to the safety of others. And I think to myself, we're not invincible. This person is rushing to die. Why would you do that? Does that make sense? Like, I just don't understand that. So I just feel like we all need to slow down. We all need to be grateful. We need to be in a space of gratitude. We need to cherish every moment and 100% live life with no regrets.
No regrets. How many people... I regret our last conversation I had with that person. Yeah. I regret that I never told them how much they meant to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't ever want to leave a conversation where I feel any sort of horrible, bad way about how I ended that. If I did, I always say, you know what? I'm really sorry. And I think that's what's called being present with someone and being self-aware. And when you're self-aware, you can know when you don't feel good about a connection or a communication with somebody, it's your responsibility to change that in that moment and not walk away feeling not good about that.
I think the nicest comment I got from a person, she was a former patient, and she knew what I was going through. Mm-hmm. And she called me and she says, Jim, I want to tell you everything I was going to tell your funeral.
Oh, but that's a beautiful thing because, you know, she wants to say it to you right here to your face and have a connection with you, just like we were talking about earlier, so that she can appreciate you here in the moment, not after you're gone.
She said, I'm so glad you're alive. So I can tell you everything I was going to say at your funeral.
That's fantastic. I've heard of this concept too, where people have these pretend you're at my funeral and say the things you'd want to. And I actually think that's a great and healthy way for people to appreciate each other.
Don't leave anything unsaid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't leave any words left unsaid.
100%.
Absolutely. So what we're talking about is getting back in touch.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I think COVID was meant to teach us how much we need each other. And sure, we can live separate lives and isolate, but, you know, the big scary bug, so what? We get sick, you know? But at least we had that moments together, you know? That's what life is about. It's for living.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's so much fear in the world. There's so much uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And I deal with that every day from people. They're so afraid. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid for their loved ones. They're afraid of the economy. They're just afraid. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, politicians seem to prey on people's fears.
They do. And I really can't stomach it. I really can't. I wish and I hope that politicians would understand how to say, this isn't right. This is broken. How do we fix this as a government? How do we make this better? And I, you know, not to get political here, but I don't understand how we live in a free country where healthcare is not a human right. I don't understand that. I really don't.
We're the only country in the civilized Western world that does not.
Yeah.
That does not have it. And this is kind of an aside to this, but when Harry Truman was president, he proposed the idea of socialized medicine. Mm-hmm. Okay. And today, people bounce this socialism around is like it's some type of a dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
But And it was, it had a great deal of legs. It had a great deal of power until the Southern senators realized that that would meant that they would have to integrate the hospitals.
Right. It's always some kind of a thing. Like
so that scuttled it.
Yep. And that's just, it's too bad because, you know, I just feel like we got to get back to taking care of each other. And, you know, all of the indigenous groups, the tribes, the clans, whatever, they got together. They rallied against or for each other. They rallied sometimes against each other, too. Let's be real, because it's human nature sometimes to oppose. But I also feel, I don't know, I just think that we've got to change the tune. And I just can't accept, I can't live in a world that is going to motivate me by fear. I won't be motivated by fear. And I just feel like more of us have to take a stand against fear and lean into it and say, yeah, you know what? I don't think so.
Well, some of these politicians convince people that something is going to be taken away from them, mm-hmm. or they're not going to get something that they truly deserve.
Right.
And it, just incitement of fear. I think one of Mike and I's best podcasts was Jesus is Socialist. Where we define fascism, we define socialism, and we define communism, okay? And we did a very nice talk on that. And I said, for our Christian friends out there, Jesus's message was love, compassion, and forgiveness. And if that's not in your makeup and your faith, then you might want to redefine your faith.
Yeah.
And then I said, here's another little tidbit for you. Jesus was the architect of socialism.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I 100%. I mean, he would have wanted everybody to have equal of everything. You know, I just can't imagine that that's not what the teachings are supposed to be. And if you go back to everything, it's all about respect. It's all about kindness. It's all about, it doesn't matter what religion you are, what faith you subscribe to, all of it, it all comes back to respect. And, you know, my grandfather, I'm just bringing him in. I'm bringing all these people who I just think were such wise people in my life. My grandfather used to say, respect is the biggest word in the dictionary. It's big. And I understand that now.
Mm-hmm. That's some of the core emotional concerns, what I consider a human bill of rights, Santina, to be listened to be understood, to be respected, to be treated as an mm-hmm. equal, to be given the benefit of the doubt and the freedom to decide. I was with a friend, and one day she told me, she says, Jim, you and I are old hippies. She's there, but you don't want to know the difference between me and you? She says, I'm a hippie, but you're a give-it-all-away hippie.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, the funny thing is the more we give away, the more that life gives back to us. And I think that's what so many people lose. And I feel like that's where you can crack the code of this fear is to go, yeah, you know what? So what? I'm going to give my last piece of bread or whatever to my next door neighbor who maybe is starving or whatever. I'm going to give that to them. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to plant something in their garden. Like you said, they're going to bring over some vegetables come springtime, and they're going to want to repay that kindness. Because I think you said it earlier, it's like when you meet people with kindness, you're met with kindness too. And I can't be met with fear. It's like that's what they're doing. They're trying to say, here's the fear, meet me in the fear. I won't.
Well, I remember when Mr. Rogers was talking to children about dealing with fear, and he told them to look for a helper. He says, that's there's true. Always helpers. And he said, if you can't find one,
become one. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's true. If you can't find kindness, then be kindness. That's essentially what he's saying. And so that's what I try to do. I try to find, if I can't find it, I'm going to invent it. You know, it's like if you can't find light, if you can't find hope, then become hope.
Well, and again, I keep referring to Mike, although he's silent tonight. He's producing this program this evening. You know, we talk about so many things, and we talk about trying to reach out and trying to help people, and asking. We love to share stories of recovery. on this show. And everybody's in recovery from something, Santina.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do is show people that it can be done. How to get from here, from there.
Mm-hmm.
And the process that they took. And what we have, it's the commonality is that we can't do this alone.
That's true. And I also feel sometimes when you can't find inspiration, it's like, just look at the fact every day you wake up, you've got breath in your lungs. You've got, you know, hopefully some food in your belly. You've got, you know, air to breathe, all of it. It's just like, you've got to find gratitude. And it's like finding the tiny little things every day that bring purpose and bring meaning into your life, I think is the way back. And that's the way to find and discover inspiration is to look at other people's struggles too and see how they overcame them. And that's to me like the everyday hero. I mean, it's good to look for helpers, but I also feel like it's good to find heroes too. You know, you never know what someone's path or their struggle has been until you've really gotten a chance to listen to them and hear their story. And it's interesting because this brings me back to another one of my clients, and I don't think she would mind if I shared the story, where I met with her a while back and I gave her a bit of a reading and I could tune into her childhood and how traumatic it was. And she lived in, you know, foster care and all this stuff. And I didn't get the full big picture because when we're reading people, I call it, we get like the idiot's guide. We get the idiot's guide version of, you had a really hard and traumatic childhood. I can feel that pain. I can see what it did and who you became because of that. And oftentimes the things that people become are very beautiful. Sometimes it's not beautiful, but in this case, it was beautiful. And even some of the ugly stuff leads to beauty. And I remember saying to this person, you're going to write a book about it. And then I went, no, you're going to write too. Well, do you want to know what? I just finished reading her book about 2 weeks ago.
No kidding.
And I got the firsthand account of how her childhood was. Mm. And it was nothing like what I when I tuned into it, I could feel it. I could kind of sense it.
Yeah.
But hearing it told from her perspective in her shoes, and that's what I think we need more of in the world, you know, rather than having a fear of like, this horrible thing could happen to me. Let's talk to somebody that this horrible thing happened to and how they made it through, because that's inspiration and that's hope.
That's the real part of it, is when somebody gives their lead, they usually say how it was, what happened, and what it's like now. But the important part of that is what they did about it.
Yeah.
That's the important part. And you were talking about the attitude of gratitude, or maybe you're feeling your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And the 12-step recovery was not the first to emphasize the importance of the attitude of gratitude, which is shown through many studies that it can actually change your thoughts and the brain chemistry that you have in your brain. And gratitude's an action word. It has to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
What I often tell people is, with a mind of anger and a mind of gratitude cannot coexist. It's impossible.
It is impossible. I would challenge someone to be angry and grateful to be angry, right? Can you be grateful to be angry? I don't think you can.
Well, some of these simple things that we talk about. And when I suggest like the attitude of gratitude and these type of things, sometimes in therapy, they expect me to come up with some type of concoction or chance or something or another that's going to cure them instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But when I offer simple remedies that I tell them right up front, the rewards are incremental.
Yeah.
And you're going to become frustrated with me. And I often ask them, I'll say, well, how many years have you been on this earth? And they'll say, well, maybe 40, 45 years. I said, then you're a 45-year production.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking me to turn the Titanic in a bathtub.
Yeah. And I also feel that people don't realize that teeny tiny little micro choices make a huge world of difference. Just little thoughts that we feed ourselves every day. Little, am I going to do this or do that with my time? You know, am I going to choose this or choose that? We choose. We make choices every minute and every second of every day.
Well, you know that choice is one of the most important things we taught this class.
Yeah.
And the, do you remember the abracadabra?
Oh, yeah. Abracadabra.
I speak what I create. I create what I speak.
Yeah.
And 80% of cognitive behavioral therapy is about changing the language in the way you speak to yourself.
It's true. And I also think back to the previous day when we were talking about what is making people feel isolated and alone, and I talked about the screens. It's also making us want everything now, right now, immediate gratification. And I feel like we've lost our sense of needing to work for things. You know, it's like that hard work, that dedication, and that feeling of achievement. Like, that's valuable. You know, instant gratification is, it's like what you said with the potato chips. You're happy now, but at the end of the bag, what happens to your gratitude or your, you know,
the pleasure?
It's, the pleasure's gone.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's what we try to just try to help people with. Help people are important. We help them learn how to deal with discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two things that I try to impress upon people, and that's patience and acceptance. Acceptance doesn't mean approval, Santina.
Yeah.
But I always emphasize to people that acceptance is the prelude to change. Always, always, always. You have to accept something before you can change it.
That's true. Patience is something I have to work on myself. Just somebody who's always kind of looking forward and moving forward and seeing future and knowing things and moving. It's hard to just stop and say, you know what? I got to wait for that. So I get it. I'm saying, you know, people need to slow down and work hard for things, but I also feel like it's patience too.
Well, we validate people by saying, I know it's hard to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard. My 8-year-old grandson, I've been trying to emphasize the fact to him that we want to behave like gentlemen. And sometimes when he acts up, I'll say, Frank, how would a gentleman behave? So I want him to grow up to be a gentleman.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know how many there are left.
Well, you keep raising them and there's going to be more. You got to multiply them. It's all about growing gentlemen and not making them extinct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've so much enjoyed our conversation tonight. And I know that the last time we had talked, I mentioned that let's not make our next podcast, our next meeting, so far apart.
Yeah.
So, but let's try to.
Let's legit do it this time.
Let's try to.
Let's make
that.
A promise.
You are one of the most delightful human beings.
Oh, thank you. I will always come. I love being here. This is so much fun. Mm. It's so much joy to be here.
Well, I think that you have, I don't think, I know that you have a really fine message, a good, simple message to carry out there to people. And if they would just pay attention on purpose.
Yeah.
And listen.
Just get out in the woods and take a walk. You know, that's all. Just go get to know yourself and listen to that voice, you know?
And so, as everyone out there knows, at the end of every podcast, we offer a free prescription, which can be cashed anywhere. We've written so many of them. And those are fruit, nuts, and vegetables. Unplug your television and take up fishing. And for a truly mindful experience, we suggest that you fish without bait. Do a kindness for yourself and do a kindness for another. Forgive yourself and forgive another. If we're all not the divine's children, and none of us are, till all are free, none are free. Namaste, my friend.
If you're interested in flying the colors of fishing without bait, click the shop icon on our website. We have clothing, mugs, cell phone cases, and so much more. Show the world that you fish without bait. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.